My name is Avril.
Hi, I'm Shauna.
Hi, I'm Scott.
Hello, I'm Paddy.
And obviously, from the intro music, you probably got the point that this is Bring Me the Demons. We just want to do a quick little disclaimer at the beginning. If you are into the summoning of demons or the bringing of evil spirits, do not send them our way.
We do not want them.
We're interested in a purely artistic sense.
Put your Ouija boards away.
Thank you. So you could get rid of them now.
That's fine.
So just another disclaimer, actually. If you might hear some choice words.
Fuck.
Just get that out at the beginning. So sorry if you don't like that kind of thing. This is probably not the podcast for you.
Right. We're just going to get into it.
Yeah. We're here to discuss all things horror. Yes. Don't want to limit that too much by saying it's purely slashers or it's purely paranormal, because that's just silly. And we'd like to be more open-minded than that. So
it's a bit
I guess
of everything.
Get some people's horror histories.
Yeah, sure.
Cool.
Right. I'll go first because I am unfortunately the oldest person in the room.
I'm so old.
I feel like mine started when I was like 12. I feel like you've all probably heard this story, but we'll tell it again anyway. I was probably 12. I was in my like best friend at the time's house in primary school having a sleepover, and she had another friend there, and they were kind of more popular in school than I was, so you know, a little bit intimidating. And they were like, let's watch a scary film. And I was like, okay. Like, I don't really know. And so they were like, we're putting it on. And I was like, okay. And so then they were like, oh, I think at the time they rented it, actually.
That was the year.
The renting shop. And they were like, oh yeah, we got this. And I was like, what is it? And they were like, the Amityville Horror. And I was like, okay, let's go. Knew nothing about it. And obviously then it starts, and the first words that pop up is based on a true story. And I was like, great, that's fantastic. And then, yeah, all I remember is that we watched the whole thing, probably behind a pillow, probably very frightened. Or as I do remember, I was extremely frightened. Specifically, spoiler alert, at the part when Jody sticks her the babysitter's finger into her brains.
Yeah.
That stuck with me for a little while. But yeah, I went home, I suppose, and then I was convinced that Jody was real, and sometimes I even tried to be like, Jody. genuinely, and then I'd be absolutely petrified. And it got to the point by night three that Mammy got cross with me and was like, you're not going over there
no
anymore.
More horrors.
You're not watching that anymore.
That went well.
Yeah, and then she actually thought she was helping one day, because she sat me down and she told me that she actually read the Amityville book, some book on it or something. And then she told me about the fact that it was a real case, but she tried to twist it to make me feel better by saying it was actually just a crazy guy who murdered his family, rather than...
That makes so much better.
Yeah. But
for a 12-year-old child. Yeah.
But as in, it was a ghost, and she did me the whole like, oh, he's in prison now, he can't hurt anybody else. And I was like, oh, grand. But of course, Jody's me being me was like, oh, you know, back then it was like dial-up internet, so like 6 o'clock you're allowed to go on the internet. I would Google things, and then I was even more disturbed than ever before. That's probably my earliest memory. And then the only other time I ever remember being really disturbed, which I feel like Avril will relate to later on, was that I walked in one night on my parents watching What Lies Beneath.
That almost got really weird. Yeah.
I don't know this story.
I was not, that didn't go where I was expecting that to go.
Yeah.
Okay.
I walked in and they were watching that, and normally, you know, when you walk in and like there's something, I can't even remember, like, you know the way I think there's a scene where he's trying to like kill his wife or hurt her or something.
Yeah.
That they'd normally be like, get out, this is like
not appropriate.
That they just didn't say anything, so I was just like, oh, let's sit down, grand. And I watched 90% of that and I cried afterwards. And that was definitely the start of it. Although sometimes I'm like, is my like absolute childhood obsession with Scooby-Doo part of it as well? Because I genuinely used to have a tradition where we would go trick-or-treating. Me and my cousins would go trick-or-treating, and then we would all go back to my house afterwards and watch whatever Halloween special of Scooby-Doo was on Cartoon Network that night. And some of them genuinely actually scared the crap out of me.
They were terrifying.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense because apparently when I don't remember, but apparently when I was like 2 or 3, my parents like had to ban me from watching Scooby-Doo because I got nightmares.
Yeah, some of them
are so scary. I don't remember any of
this,
but...
Yeah, some of them are genuinely so... I remember some of them, like, we'd actually have to like stay up or leave the lights on afterwards. But at the same time, I never stopped watching them, so then I obviously did like them.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
But,
That makes sense.
But from those two stories... They sound kind of traumatic, but you're into horror now, so what happened?
Yeah.
I feel like that's going to be a recurring theme.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like for like a couple of years after that, definitely until I was like 15 or 16 anyway, I was more kind of like, no, I don't like watching scary things. I don't like being afraid. I don't like being frightened at all. And I feel like them two movies stuck in my head for them all them years, like all of them. That I even like, I wouldn't like, I didn't like porcelain dolls in my room, I didn't like bats, I didn't like foggy mirrors in toilets, I didn't like looking behind myself in the mirror.
Never do that.
Nothing like that. And then I don't remember the point in time when it turned from I don't actually like these to I do like them. I feel like I never disliked them to the point that I'd be like, no, because I'd always be curious.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I just didn't enjoy the feeling of being scared. But I don't remember when it turned to actually do.
The Amityville is like one of your favourite movies now.
Yeah, and I feel like I suppose maybe it was later then.
Was that the Ryan Reynolds one?
Yeah.
I mean, that's reason enough to love
that's
it alone.
That's a very good reason.
And I was like 12, like hitting puberty, Ryan Reynolds on the telly. Mm-hmm.
That'll, like, you know.
Yeah.
I was 18 when Deadpool came out and I still,
Yeah.
I was like a 12-year-old girl going through puberty.
He is. We were literally just saying that today, that him and Blake Lively just can't go wrong.
No.
Yeah.
But, what was I going to say?
Oh, well, what is your like favourite kind of horror then? Like, is it the Amityville, that kind of idea, or do you prefer different like styles of horror?
I feel like I'll predominantly always love paranormal horrors because of that, and I feel like specifically because I researched on the internet the Amityville case after I watched it, which I wasn't supposed to do, but I did anyway.
It's better than what most 12-year-olds look up on
the internet. That's true. I feel like then, years later, when The Conjuring was released, when I put the two and two together, that was Ed and Lorraine, and they did Amityville, I immediately was like, wait, now, I know this story, what's going on?
It was like this whole world.
Yeah, what's going on? And then I was like, yeah, I feel like I really loved them, and for a while I was like, I only like ghost stories, I don't like slashers, I don't like... Well, I never mind slashers, but gore, probably not. Whereas now I feel like I'm actually open to most things.
Mm.
Still a bit apprehensive about Saw, but we're getting there. We're getting there.
What was the first horror movie you saw in the cinema?
Oh.
If you can remember.
I remember, I actually don't know what it's called, but I remember leaving one, and that was because, it's actually really funny, my cousin's mother decided that we'd all go to the cinema together, so my mom, her mom, me and her, and she looked up a film that was called, I don't even know what it was, but it was called something about like college or something, but it was basically like a sorority slasher basically. But she just looked it up, saw college kids, was like, that's probably a nice story, let's go to that. Went to that, and then we had to leave like 30 minutes in because my mam and her mam were so disturbed.
I really want to know what that film is.
I
kind of want to watch it.
I never, and I can't look anything up because I don't remember the plot because we left so soon.
Must have been mid-2000s.
Yeah. Must have been something like that. But what was the first one I seen in cinema? I'm trying to think back. Oh, that's a really good question.
Or even the first one you purposely went to see.
I feel like actually one we accidentally went to see, which is not that long ago.
How do you accidentally?
Not accidentally. But we seen it and we were like, oh... it looked like a thriller, and I think we had gone to the cinema, this is me and my boyfriend I'm speaking about now, to see something else, and it was like either not on or not on at the right time or whatever, and we were like, oh, we'll go see that because we've seen the trailer, it looks all right, let's go. But we thought it was more of a thriller, which was actually Oculus, and that's what we ended up going to see. And
that
I remember
so
actually
much.
Yeah, because the trailer kind of does give off this kind of like, oh right, it's like a haunted mirror type thing, but
yeah.
You don't really know. But yeah, I think that was the first one that I was like, that was actually so good. And then the first time because I feel like I liked horror, but like only kind of was accessible to watch it at home, because when you got into it at 15 or 16, a lot of times you weren't allowed to go see it
in
the cinema.
Yeah, you couldn't see it.
But I feel like the first proper film I remember being like, I'm going to see that, was The Conjuring. The very first one was like, that was my first set, like, let's go.
That's intense.
Then from the first Conjuring, then I was like, I have to now see every horror ever in cinema.
Well, like, the problem there is like, you're starting with the best one, so it just kind of goes
drops down.
Yeah, that's also late as well. Like,
yeah.
So you were like,
yeah, I feel
how
like,
old? Like 20?
Yeah, I feel like I think I went to see like Paranormal Activity, and I seen the Insidious. I can't remember like
what. Didn't stick as much though.
I don't remember what order or what year they came out, and so I could be wrong as to which one is first. But I remember like The Conjuring was the first one I specifically remember seeing the trailer and be like, I'm going to see that. But I think I went open at night to the like galactic screen. It was like, let's do this. And then
that's loud.
Yeah. And I feel like that was my first time experiencing what a horror with proper surround sound, proper everything, and that's what hooked me. That was me like, right, that's it, never not going to see one again in the galactic. And now I feel like I go see ones that I'm not even into because I'm like, oh my god, it's in the loud screen, let's go.
It's kind of like that, it's kind of that roller coaster moment of like, this is amazing and great, even if it's kind of crap.
Probably yeah, no
it's,
point.
It's great
because it's so loud it makes it better.
Probably yeah. No point going to see A Quiet Place 2 in it, really.
No
Okay.
Although that was pretty good, even though we ended up seeing it twice, but it was still
the real
good.
The real horror with that is just the sound of everyone eating food around you.
Yeah,
yeah. Oh yeah,
I stuff seen like trees.
Oh no, yeah.
And did you see in her like trailer disclaimer? Actually, she was like, "If you're going to the cinema, like marshmallows, yeah, marshmallows and jellies are like popcorn and crisps. No,
yeah, that's a good.
Whatever about crisps, popcorn is too much.
I feel like it's too intense. I always find though, as much as I love horrors, I can't eat in them. I just can't. Even though I like.
I can.
I do.
Always. Can always eat.
I feel like I enjoy getting into it so much I can't even eat it in it.
I find I know if a scene is good because I've stopped eating.
Yeah. Because it's too intense because you're like, I will choke.
I don't know. Chocolate helps.
Oh, I feel like chocolate dries your throat out and you're like, ugh, I can't.
That's a very, it's a very Harry
then
Potter.
Then no one can hear your screams.
Oh, God.
It's very Harry Potter.
I do
reaction,
like though. When people knock their popcorn when they get freaked out. I also realised that I think it was the first time The Conjuring was the first like, you know, this proper like jump scare the whole way through, that I was like, this is actually really nice, like a bunch of people are all here for the same
thing. This is really nice.
But you know the way you'd be like, this build up and then you'd hear like a bunch of people be like, wah, or jump, and then it was just like this laughter would fill
the
screen.
Nervous giggle.
Yeah, because everybody got frightened at something stupid and you were like, yeah, I like that.
It's fun, we're all terrified together.
It's kind of comforting though.
Yeah,
there is something weirdly like comforting about like, there's nothing I enjoy more than a scary film, as in a really weird way. It like calms me, or like I'd find that as a good like
relaxing
anxiety calmer. Like
I think that ties back to the whole thing you're saying about like being frightened by Amityville.
Yeah,
because when you're watching a scary movie with like 100 other people and everyone's like, oh, this is fine, it's grand, we're not going to die,
yeah,
you're not going to be sitting in your bed later on going, oh, there's a ghost, oh shit.
Yeah, although I do mostly have to have somebody stay with me after I single. Like, I mean, it doesn't mean I'm any braver, it just means I enjoy them more. I'm still absolutely shite when I get out of them. I still will jump at everything. I remember going to see Insidious 2. It was actually really funny. I watched Insidious 1. This is kind of off topic, but I watched Insidious 1 not in the cinema. I watched it on whatever, telly or DVD or whatever. And I actually didn't really like it. And then I realised that like when the theatrics are taken away, sometimes it's not as good. Like, you can enjoy a horror based off your experience in the cinema more so than when you watch it at home.
Or not enjoy it, depending on who's sitting in the row in front of you ruining the movie on you.
Or what group of teenagers are in
the back row. That's the worst.
No, for some reason they always end up right
in front of us.
In kicking distance, which is the worst part, because you can't kick 15-year-olds.
But after that, I remember getting like a little bit cocky going into Insidious 2, because I was like, I saw the first one, I didn't really like it, it's not that scary. And the opening credits, you know, the way Insidious does that old school like high pitched noise as the logo comes up or whatever, that was a start. I crapped myself in the cinema basically. But at the time my boyfriend was living in a house with a bunch of lads and we all went to see it, and then afterwards we went back to the house and I went down to get a glass of water, and when I came up they all decided to hide. So I was now in this creepy farmhouse in pitch black and nobody upstairs after watching that. And then I realised, actually, yeah, I'm still absolutely shite after a horror film.
And then you broke up with him.
No. Still together. But yeah, so that is kind of the lead up to mine. I think I blame Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, we'll blame
Scooby-Doo. I still enjoy it.
I think it's going to be a trend.
Yeah. But actually, when I watch back the very first Scooby-Doo film, I still think it's a bit creepy.
They all are.
They really are. That was our first ever video, too. I just really remember that. I was like, asked for it for my birthday, and my parents said no. You know when they do that, like, no, you're not getting that, we got you something else, like, you've got enough stuff.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, hate ye. And then they surprised me with it and I cried.
And then I cried when I watched it too.
Yeah, and afterwards.
I remember the first one I got was the Cyber Chase.
Oh yeah. So I remember when that came out, we all went to my cousin's house, so like, as if it was like a movie launch night, like, everybody sit down, Cyber Chase is out, let's go.
It's so good.
I looked like a crazy person a couple of months ago when I went into CEX and bought all of them movies.
Not crazy. Not even a little bit.
Legend says us copied the Cyber Chase. Do you remember when they meet?
Oh, yeah, that's actually really
good. I didn't
even
think of that, yeah. That's a really good point.
But, yeah, that's kind of my first experience all wrapped up.
I'll take over. Yeah, speaking of traumatic experiences. so I remember my first... The very first time I ever saw any horror movie, I remember I was 6 or 7 years old, and they had just, like, the remake of Dawn of the Dead had came out.
Mm-hmm.
So I was at home one night, and my mom was working, and my grandparents were doing whatever. My dad was in the room, watching telly, as he does, and I went down to ask him something, and he was watching the Dawn of the Dead remake.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember walking in and being like, oh, blah, 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 whatever. And he was like, yeah. And he was just intently watching this movie. So I was like, oh, what's going on here? And it was the scene in Dawn of the Dead where I don't think any of you have seen it.
No.
So there's a scene in the remake where obviously a group of survivors in a shopping mall, and they're doing the whole zombie thing, and the zombies are outside, and they're having a great time living in this shop. But then it goes wrong, and the zombies break in, and one of the guys has a pregnant wife. Who gets bitten?
Why is there always a pregnant person in all, like, awfully horrendous situations?
Yeah, end of the world films.
Just to slow everyone down.
Always.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I think she was pregnant and then the bad shit happened, opposed to, like, the, you know, A Quiet Place where she's like, oh God, we're all dead, let's have a baby.
Yeah. Inconvenient.
Yeah. So I walked in and there's a part where she gets bitten and turned into a zombie.
Okay.
So So basically her husband ties her to a kind of like a
spoilers.
Major
spoilers.
Spoilers for a 16-year-old movie. So the husband ties her to this bed table thing with barbed wire.
Lovely.
Because she's a zombie.
Of course. Yeah, fair enough.
And she gives birth to a zombie baby.
Oh my God, is it like Twilight?
And this is like, this is, no, because this Twilight. Is, you, it's kind of like Twilight, but it was dark. Dark as shit. Yeah.
And 6 years old is very young.
Yeah, and I walked in, I was watching this, and like...
Why is your dad not like, get out?
Is that also your first experience of childbirth?
That's the real scary part. But yeah, so they come
out... But that's not real, Dad, right?
So she gives birth, and she dies, and I think she gets shot, I don't remember. But the baby's there anyway, and it's this little dead grey baby.
Oh my God.
Like, what did it do?
The baby's there, and her, you know, the father is kind of looking, and he's like... Oh fuck. And then the baby just like growls like a zombie and gets shot off screen.
Oh yeah. Lovely.
So that's my first horror experience, and I watched that scene and left, and I was kind of traumatized for about 6 months after, to be honest.
I can imagine.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to I thought every baby was going to be a zombie and try biting.
Yeah, I was going to say, because you wouldn't understand it. You can't rationalize it at that age.
We're all,
I
mean, like, zombies now.
When I was six, at that point I had played like Grand Theft Auto and a lot of shit like that, so I was seriously
six.
Yeah, seriously. I played Grand Theft Auto 3 when it came out in like 2001. I'm not even joking. Like, I was just like, hey, let's run over everyone, this is great. So I was kind of like desensitized to violence, but so from there I was like, okay, zombies, that's a cool concept, but I was terrified of them. They were like my kryptonite for a while. So as the time went on, and like, you know, Sky Movies was a thing, and they had a woeful habit of playing every Saw film every day for some reason.
That's a rough one.
Because it was the early 2000s.
Because it was like 2006. Mm-hmm. No, I remember specifically Saw 3 had came out the year before.
Okay.
And I remember being in, I was home, like, everyone was gone off, everyone was doing something. I was in the sitting room watching telly, and I was like, oh, I want to put on a movie. Oh, Saw 3 is just out. Oh, no, that's too scary.
Yeah.
I'll put it on for 5 minutes.
Yeah, I used to do that, actually. So, I used to be like, turn on, then flick the channel as quick as you could.
So I put on Saw 3, and I was like, okay, cool, let's see what's going on here. And it was the whole, like, start of the film where, you know, it's like exposition and everything's like, oh, all the characters.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't spoil that, don't worry. But, so it started off and I was like, oh, this isn't actually too bad. This is fine. And then shit kicked off.
Yeah.
And have any of you seen Saw 3?
No.
So it's the most slow burn of any of them,
mm-hmm.
in that for the first couple of, like, traps and setups are pretty chill.
Yeah.
that's an accident.
As chill as it can be.
It's super chill, and that's an accidental pun that you'll get when you see it. But yeah, so it's like, oh, this is fine, this isn't bad. And suddenly there was people like in machinery, and oh god, it was desperate. But I just couldn't look away. There's one scene where, kind of spoilery, but
no spoilers. No, I haven't seen it yet.
Try not to go too deep. But there's one scene where this one of the characters is caught in a trap. And it they call it the angel wing trap.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't ruin why they call it that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Everyone's covering her ears. But basically, what happens is she's strung up and has machinery stuck in her.
Okay.
And to avoid saying what, she ends up in a full-on angel pose. And anyone that's seen that will know what I mean.
Understood.
But it's the most like horrifying thing. As like a 10-year-old, you can kind of see, because like even the noises and the sound effects are right.
Yeah.
But I couldn't look away. I was actually like looking through my fingers, being like, "What's going on? Oh yeah. God!" And you know, like saw it super tense with the music and everyone's building up, and then suddenly, there's bits of people everywhere, and I'm like, "Holy shit!" And then I kind of like, I remember after watching that scene, I turned it off and I was sitting there like, what just happened? How do I, like, I kind of felt a little bit sick.
How does my life go on from this?
Yeah, and I remember sitting on the couch and being like, oh my god,
why did I do that?
What happens next? And I pull it back on, I watched the whole film. And I'm like, it took a couple of like goals beforehand to be like, because there was, you know, Saw 1 and 2 and 3 and a few other bits were on before, and I was like, oh no, I'm too scared to watch those.
Yeah.
And then I had watched Saw 1 and 2 and 3 before I was like 14. Yeah.
That's great. I feel like, we both came into the horror industry in completely different aspects.
Oh, massively.
Like,
I
came into what I was completely against, and you're
fine with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, and I don't know what it is, but like for a while then after watching that, I was still iffy on the whole thing of zombies. And I remember, at around the same time I watched Saw, Shaun of the Dead was on.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a scene in the very start of that where there's a zombie who is missing an arm.
Mm-hmm.
And it does this, like, really funny kind of jump scare where it just pans out and suddenly the zombie's there.
Yeah.
And he's missing an arm. And apparently they got an actual disabled guy without an arm to do it. They hired loads of amputees for that film. It was great. But yeah, I remember seeing that and being terrified, kind of like you were with Jodie from Amityville. I was like, I'm going to turn around and the one-armed zombie is going to be there.
Yeah.
Because he's like 7 foot tall as well.
Yeah.
So every so often I'd be sitting on the couch, and if I was watching Scooby-Doo, I'd still turn and check. Is the one-armed zombie beside me?
Yeah.
Everyone's okay. So, but eventually I got the courage, because for some reason we ended up having that on DVD. And I watched the whole of Shaun of the Dead, and I was like, do you know what? This isn't bad.
Yeah, I actually grew up thinking that Shaun of the Dead was like horror, like terrifying. Because I remember seeing the front cover of the like video, I suppose it was at the time, in the like rental shop, or it was probably a DVD actually. And I used to be like, that's so scary. And it was always in the horror section. And it wasn't until like, I'd say maybe like 6 years ago, that I watched it for the first time, being like, what?
This isn't scary.
This is not a scary film. Like, it's almost on the like scary movie.
It's like it's so good. It's so such
good.
A good film.
It's so good.
But yeah, but watching Shaun of the Dead gave me the courage to go back and watch Dawn of the Dead in full.
Yeah, you see, I never watched that. I always thought they were both scary.
Did you think they were linked because of the rhyme?
Yeah, I thought they were like a first movie and a second movie. That's what I used to think they were.
I didn't. I was a bit stupid and didn't think of that. But no, I kind of realised like after seeing Shaun of the Dead, oh, it's a piss take of Dawn of the Dead. Ah, that makes so much sense.
Yeah.
But went back and watched it, and turns out in context that's still a terrifying scene with a pregnant zombie baby woman.
Yeah, that's not good. Like, that's not good.
So for years I was like obsessed with zombie movies, and that kind of like spread to the whole monster fiction with like Alien, The Thing, all those crazy stuff.
That worked better with the age that you were when you watched that, because you know, if you sat down and watched a zombie film for the first time when you're like 14, at least you can like rationalize, well, zombies aren't real.
Yeah.
Whereas I couldn't prove that ghosts weren't real, so I was like, but Jodie could come to my room.
That's what I thought was crazy.
There's no proof zombies aren't real, don't they?
That's true, yet. But in comparison to a ghost,
inevitable.
We'll see where the coronavirus goes.
And it used to be like that thing, I used to do the thing with Jodie, like in my head, you know, and people used to say, like, say Bloody Mary in the mirror 3 times and she'll appear. That I used to be like, did you ever look in the mirror then in your head you start going Bloody Mary, and you're like, stop. I feel like when I was lying in bed at night just like staring at the ceiling being 12, terrified, like in my head I used to be like, Jodie, thinking, and then I'd be like, stop it, and then I'd start like thinking I could see things, and then it would end up Mama coming in, and then I got in trouble. That was literally
fair.
You brought it all on yourself.
Yeah,
I managed to like never freak out so much about the horror movies that like people were concerned.
Yeah,
or even
no,
you, I'd watched all these horror movies.
I did. I was absolutely disturbed. I was convinced one night. I woke up at like 3 o'clock in the morning. Oh, that's another thing about Amityville. I am still to this day, and I am not even lying, if I wake up and it's like 3:14, I freak out. I'm like, I can't see 3:15. And then if it gets to 3:15, I close my eyes. And then when it's 3:16, I'm like, oh, thank God.
I'm not
like,
going to die now.
Oh, thank
this
God.
Is fine.
Yeah, and then like, it's only, I never knew that that was like, you know the way they go on in other films at 3 a.m. is supposedly haunting hour. I never got that. I always just thought it was Jodie. I was like, Jodie's coming. But now I don't even, now it's made it worse because I used to just not like 3:15. Now I don't like 3 a.m. to 4 a.m. because
that is much worse.
It's a full hour.
Yeah.
But yeah, I woke up at like 3 something in the morning and I was absolutely petrified because I was like, this is it now.
This is
I
moment.
Said her name, she's coming.
You're going
and
now.
I woke up and I had like a rocking chair in the corner and I had like a little porcelain doll on it that my granny gave, which I actually hate porcelain dolls now. But obviously in my sleep like state I stared at the doll until my mind like made it look like its mouth was moving, and I was convinced its mouth was moving at a super high speed, like not saying anything, just being like blah, 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 with its mouth, and I started crying and woke mom up and got in trouble again.
It happened a lot. You caused a lot of disruption.
Even
on the whole horror thing, I think I was looking in a way that all the stuff I really got into was old and like some of the best stuff.
Yeah.
But it was so like it was kind of sci-fi horror. Like we all know Alien isn't real.
Mm-hmm.
We all know The Thing isn't real.
Yeah.
We think.
You say these things, but they could be listening.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
That's
that's how my mind works.
Okay, fair, but they're not ghosts. But like I didn't get into the whole supernatural horror thing until I remember the first film I went to see in the cinema that was a horror movie was Paranormal Activity 3. I remember going I went with some
what
lads.
What is that one?
Terrible.
I remember a lot of them were terrible.
So we went, I was like 15 and I just turned 15 when it came out and we went to see it and it was the whole thing, you know, you're saying like the experience is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I remember sitting the whole way through being super tense because, you know, like the entire point is you're sitting waiting for something to go,
even if nothing happens.
You
know what's going on. Yeah.
So I remember the entire film was, you know, the usual setup of, oh, there's cameras in a house and we get to watch the cameras, and it was just this constant, one of the cameras
panned from room to room,
but not even, there was one camera that just swiveled in the corner, so it was like camera to the left,
I think I remember that,
slowly back to the right, but it was positioned on the corner of two rooms, so
I remember
I remember this one
and I remember for an hour and a half sitting there just waiting, really tense, kind of curled up tense, being like, come on, something happened.
Yeah.
And then when it did, I was like, oh, for fuck's sake, finally.
Yeah.
And then went straight back into, oh, now I have to wait for something else to happen.
Yeah, that film to a T.
And I don't remember a single plot point, but at the end there was a cult and an old lady in a nightgown that tried to kill someone.
Oh, yeah.
As always.
They went way crazier than that.
I think that was the first one I saw, and it
wasn't there one with, like, the whole thing took place in Spain or something, but by the end, it came back to, like, Paranormal.
Yeah, because the first three were all linked to what happened, each person that went missing. Or wasn't it the girl in the first film, and then
like Katie,
yeah, and she took the baby in the second film and it all linked, but then there was like one, I don't even know how many of those films there are, but there's one that I went to see in the cinema, and it was like two Spanish guys, and it was absolutely
by the end it linked back into like the second one,
but it was they go back in time to the first one and come out, and
they go back
it teaches
time.
How but it completely is just like, you could have
they know the Russos
but you couldn't have met any story, like they just were linking it in the stupidest way possible. I feel like the first Paranormal Activity
first one is solid.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
It's I feel like they're the kind of films, unless you see them in the cinema,
they're not worth seeing.
Like
nothing happens in the first one for 90% of the film. You're just sitting there watching
and
a room.
And the last like 15 minutes are pretty good.
Yeah.
It's the tension building. It's that thing of like, you know, this is called Paranormal Activity, so you sit there waiting to see Paranormal Activity.
And I was actually really excited for that one because I was like, that's what I like. But I actually didn't see that. Did I didn't see the first one in cinema, no. But I feel like that was the same, going to see them was like, it wasn't even that I really wanted to go see him. It's just that was like all the hype at the time. Everybody was watching Paranormal
Everyone
Activities.
Was talking about it.
They were huge, like.
They were, but they completely turned me off supernatural horror for years.
Yeah.
I wouldn't watch any of the other stuff because I was like, oh, it's just a stupid film where there's nothing happening and then suddenly, boo, there's a ghost.
Yeah.
Honestly, I couldn't watch them. I was like, oh, these are terrible. Give me just like something where someone's getting caught up.
But I understand that people to this day aren't really a fan of paranormal films because you can't really do a paranormal film without building tension and then have the ghost pop out, because that's the whole point of the ghost. But I feel like I nearly thank Mam for telling me the backstory of Amityville, and then that got me into that side of
terrible
paranormal.
Terrible parenting got you into horror.
Yeah, well, my mom didn't let me watch
to be fair,
when I was
most
six.
Of the time
yeah,
it is.
Exactly.
So yeah, but I think when we get to mine, that's the case as well.
Yeah so
I think that's me, Gob. So, Scott,
okay,
talk to us.
My turn. I feel like all of our stories are going to be kind of similar, where
yeah.
you were a child and you saw something you shouldn't have saw and you got a bit traumatized. But with me, I think I was such a wimp that it didn't come from actual horror movies. I remember, like, I remember specifically watching Terminator 2 was on TV. Right? Not a horror movie.
No.
But there was a scene where...
I mean, there's an argument that Terminator 1 is
scary like. Cyborgs.
Yeah, it wasn't that one, though. It was Terminator 2.
Oh, well, yeah.
And it was just a scene, spoiler alert, it's been out like 40 years. that, what's the bad robot?
T-1000.
Yeah. He has, like, kidnapped John Connor's, like, step-parents and... He's like impersonating the mother on the phone.
Oh, I remember that.
And it zooms
scene.
Out, and he has like a blade through like the stepfather's hand, and
yeah.
blood everywhere. And I saw that at like 7.
Oh, that's
and I was
rough.
Like, holy fuck!
That's the scene where Arnold Schwarzenegger tells him like, ask him a question.
Ask him how's like the dog's name, but he gives him the wrong dog's name, and
yeah,
he doesn't
like,
know.
Oh, it's fine,
wrong.
Rex.
Yeah,
like, I'm sorry, your parents are dead.
Yeah. But yeah, it was always things like that. I remember The Witches was one. Again, if you watch it now, it's probably the most family-friendly
film. Yeah, that's
in the
literally
world.
A kid's movie, but
yeah,
I can relate.
After seeing that, I was afraid of just any woman wearing gloves.
That's Roald Dahl's The Witches, by the way.
Yeah,
Scott hasn't been to a doctor in 20 years.
But in terms of, like, I don't remember, like, specifically. I feel like I avoided horror films a lot of my life just because I was just, like... brought with the notion that they were just bad to watch.
Just don't
yeah,
do them.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just, yeah. I don't know how I got over that, but I did.
It just happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe that's why it happened for you, because you weren't as exposed to it, perhaps, growing up. You kind of stayed away from it. So then all of a sudden, you could get an appreciation when you were old enough to be like, oh, this isn't real. It's
yeah.
a man in a mask.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I feel like...
And it's just, it's never as bad as, like, parents make it out. I know they have to make it out
well,
to be
yeah.
bad because you're a child, but, like, when you get over it, it's like, oh, okay.
That's all.
Yeah.
See, I kind of have the opposite because my parents are genuinely wimps.
All right.
Like, my mother is terrified of him, and my dad doesn't like anything, so I don't know why he was watching Dawn of the
Dead. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, in terms of, like, what my favourite horror genre would be, because you were talking about that, I feel like... the classic ghost story would be the like most rewatchable ones, like The Conjuring, etc. But I feel like the ones I would put on the top of my favorite horror movies ever are like the really dark psychological ones that are like really heavy to watch.
Ooh.
Like The Babadook or Hereditary for me.
Oh yeah, fair.
That's my type. That's what I look for.
You like to come out feeling a little bit like, what is life?
Like, holy fuck, life is shit. That's
why are we here?
Yeah.
Why are we trying?
Yeah.
Yeah, I find them ones quite hard as well.
Yeah, because like you're giving...
They stay with you.
Yeah, exactly. And they give you like a perspective that you've never had and genuinely make you feel shit inside, which is another level of fucking horror.
Yeah, I feel like they're made to make you feel nauseous. Like, that's
yeah.
their purpose.
Yeah, which I don't
like
in theory,
like,
I don't enjoy,
in
but
your
I...
your skin, nearly.
Yeah.
In theory, I don't enjoy that, but like, I do.
Yeah.
You know?
I like the pain.
Yeah.
But on another level, it's like it kind of puts anything in your own life, I guess, in perspective a little bit, because
yeah.
you're like, that's how dark things can get.
Yeah.
I'm alright.
So I'm actually not doing too bad.
Yeah, I feel like that's
considered.
My thing now.
And also, if your life is like, if you're going through something shit and you watch one of them, it's like, yeah, people have been here before.
Yeah, this is not just me. Yeah.
Not
yeah.
that I like a creepy demon has come into my life and
well, not
my
yet.
Child.
Yeah, but I feel like that makes it easier nowadays, because when you leave the cinema, you're like, well, at least I didn't adopt a demon child.
Yeah, at least my kid isn't bringing a crossbow into school.
Yeah.
Yes. There's always,
yes.
always a chance.
You haven't got kids yet. You don't
yet.
Know. Yeah, I feel like, I don't know, like, I suppose you should just put it out there into the world that Scott is my brother, if he didn't,
yeah.
we'll just Hello. Put this out here. So I feel like...
Somehow he managed to stay away from all the stuff you were watching.
Yeah, but I feel like...
But I feel like I also, like, I don't know when it happened, but I also just got interested in filmmaking from... It could have been, like, fucking superhero movies, to be honest, but, like,
yeah.
when I got into that, and the more I was learning about different techniques of directing or editing, I would just naturally... go on like YouTube videos of all genres, all movies, just give me information about things, and then I would just gravitate towards horror
in
that way.
I do think that looking at horror from that perspective
it's
does
really fun.
Make it easier to watch them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I would definitely
like,
get that.
Yeah. Like, if I'd be watching a horror film I haven't seen before, and like, during the scary part, I'd be kind of tense, but then my brain would be like, oh, I like how the director, oh, that's kind of fun, and I would enjoy it,
yeah,
rather than be scared.
It's more like, how are they doing it?
Yeah.
Not, oh my God, what are they doing?
Which I really like doing.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I never even thought of that aspect of horror movies or just, well, films in general until I started like talking to you guys about it.
Yeah.
Because I'd be watching a film, like especially some of the older like 80s and 70s stuff, I was going, oh, these are good films, and I enjoyed that. But then rewatching now, I'm going, oh, I really like how he framed that shot. Or,
yeah,
I can see what he's doing there. Yeah.
And the camera just moves a certain way, and it's like, oh, that looks
familiar. Yeah, and I feel like I got in like to that from listening to, but also subconsciously, because I feel like I was just like, okay, I like ghost story films, and then I was like, who makes this? And then I was like, James Wan made this, I'm gonna watch his films. And then when the second one came out, I noticed from watching the first one so many times, like, oh, that camera angle was done the same, and I noticed that he was able to like frighten people by like turning the camera upside down and stuff, and I was that's nuts, that just changing the perspective of a camera is able to frighten people or like distort you, and you're like,
and I feel like even if you don't look for that and you don't study it, I think subconsciously you know when you've seen a better
Version of it, nearly
a new, like a better filmmaker, even subconsciously, because I feel like I noticed, I'm such a superhero nerd that like even as a child, like that Fantastic Four movie, I enjoyed it at the time.
That was hard.
Sorry, but can we just give appreciation to Chris Evans? Joking, that the greatest thing ever. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Chris
Evans, Johnny Storm.
The nurse walks in and she's like, wow, you're really hot. And he's like, well, thank you. And she's like, no, you're telling
me. I actually think my favourite Chris Evans is when he's like, me too.
But the point I'm making is, even as a child, even though I like that film, you know, it's terrible, I could tell subconsciously, like, Sam Raimi's Spider-Man is so much better than that. And I didn't know why at the time, but I just, like, I knew it was better for a reason.
Yeah. But I think in a way, like, for average people, half the film name is tricking them into thinking it's better and not knowing why. Like if people can obviously notice, if the average person can go, oh, that shot is so much better than other film,
they won't know why it's better, but they'll think it's better.
I think half of it is kind of just tricking people in ways they don't know.
That's probably what filmmaking is.
Also, quick question, what's been your biggest jump scare you've ever experienced?
Because
mine really sticks out in my head.
I know what you're
like in the cinema, and I feel like this is really good. The reason I'm bringing this up, because we're talking about directing, I think it was really good directing. I've probably told you all this
I
before.
Feel like mine would be The Haunting of Hill House,
the
in
car
the car
scene. That was a good one.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, because,
oh my God,
something Mike Flanagan does, he's going to be in a lot of episodes.
Love Mike Flanagan.
Well, he does, like, those jump scares don't come in silence, they come in complete tension over another thing that you don't even think about.
But that's what my one is, was It.
Yeah.
The It scene where Beverly comes home and her father, like, is it almost like attacking her for cutting her hair, and then there's this weird kind of like, is he gonna like rape her, sexually assault her, and then she runs to the bathroom and you're all in like high tense, like shit, the dad's coming, and then she like smashes him over the head with the mirror, massive spoiler, sorry, but and then you're like, oh thank God, like she's safe, and then she turns around and Pennywise just grabs her, and that's the one scene where like
it distracts you from the actual scare
tends to consume me so much that I was not expecting Pennywise, and then he was just there, and I literally shat myself.
But yeah, I think my actual best jump scare was the Hill House one.
Yo, that was fantastic. I literally leapt as well.
Watch The Haunting of Hill House, by the way.
It's so good. It's the best.
But like, I find weird, it's still like, I'm driving in the car at night time and I keep checking the mirror. I'm still so paranoid.
You have to
there's someone there.
When you come out of
cinema,
you have to check the back seat.
Someone there.
You have to.
Like,
it's a written rule.
For, just for sake of picking a different one though, like, you know the scene at the end of Friday the 13th?
The first one.
Yeah.
Oh, that,
oh
that
my
actually
God,
got
yeah,
me
that
still
is,
to this
the
day.
Very first time I saw that.
Yeah.
That, oh, I jumped about two
well,
feet.
My first time watching the first Friday the 13th properly was like, I'd say 6 months ago, and that jump scare still got me.
Yeah.
Still got me, because I was like you're literally like, he's out of danger now. Mm-hmm. Like, what? Nothing could go wrong. And then it's like, oh, okay, she's out of danger. Sorry.
I was like 16, 17 watching that.
That was such a good twist, though.
But like
so
the
good.
whole way through the film, not a bother, and suddenly at the end, ah, fuck.
Yeah, that was good. That was so good.
Now that you mentioned that, can I just get back on to? I'll let you give your answer in a minute, but. One jump scare I remember, which is really weird. There's one in the very first Spider-Man. And like that Spider-Man trilogy is like my favorite of all time. It's when Green Goblin does his experiment and he wakes up and he's like, what happened? And then just in the middle of that, it just boom. And yeah. It just flashes like him being evil. And he's like, I don't know what happened. And it fucking blows your
head
off.
That was scary though.
That was crazy.
I probably saw that in cinema, like three.
I think he's actually the scariest villain, I think, of all superhero things. But he's just the most menacing or something.
The best voice.
Yeah.
And I can't look at that actor now without being like,
no,
Green
he's
Goblin.
Just Green Goblin.
He just looks like the Green Goblin.
But
Green
saying that, like, Willem Dafoe was terrifying before he was Green Goblin. He's just a scary man.
He is. But he looks so like the actual goblin costume. Like, they look similar.
He looks like the green motorbike helmet.
He can nearly do that Jim Carrey thing of, like, twisting his whole thing.
But
I think, you know, I think the whole Sam Raimi influence really came out in that one.
That was probably, I didn't say it, but that was probably a big impact as well on how I got into horror. Yeah. Sam Raimi was like the first director I gave a shit about.
Yeah, I also feel like I can't remember back, but there probably was a time where I forced Scott to sit down and watch something, because I definitely did that with our cousin Rachel when I brought her over.
I feel like you were
involved because I got in trouble, as always.
I feel like I saw What Lies Beneath, but I don't remember any of it.
Yeah.
She really
loves spreading that film around.
I forced Rachel. I sat her down, and she was probably about 13 as well, and I sat her through Amityville like I did, and the same trauma got her. And then, like, her mom, my aunt, called me and was like, Rachel's not staying with you anymore, like, if you do that, you're a bad influence. But now Rachel is also an avid horror fan, so look what happened. Maybe you should just be traumatized as a kid. I think that's what we're getting at here.
Just gets chewed.
Yeah.
You get traumatized and then it turns around and
I don't know.
You stop
misbehaving at school as well if you believe in ghosts. So parents, if you're listening, show your kids some horror.
Scott, what was your first cinema trip of horror?
I actually don't know.
I feel like you only got kind of into going when we first started going to Conjuring as well.
I feel like I was too much of a wimp to, like, go see them in the cinema, so I was like,
you weren't going
to
suggest it.
No, I feel like one of the Conjuring movies was like the first time I was like, alright, I'll go see it, because I'd seen so many of them on DVD by that point.
Fair.
Actually, I just remember the very first horror I seen in the cinema properly was The Cabin in the Woods. And I actually hated it, because when I think back now though, like, I had no knowledge of that film, and I remember it was because, like, what, that was when I first started talking to Queeve. And for anybody listening, yes, that's my boyfriend's name. His name is Queeve. It's weird, I know, but he gets that a lot, it's fine. But he was like, oh, would we go see a horror? And I suppose if it's like, if you're starting to kind of see someone, a horror is a good
day,
because
icebreaker.
It's the only cinema experience where you can kind of, like,
you can laugh at it at the end.
Yeah, but you know, if you went to see a comedy, you're just going to sit and watch the film and there'll be no interaction. But a horror kind of makes you be
when,
like,
when someone jumps, you're like,
but it can also make you be like, oh, we're scared, you know, you're like cuddle closer together or whatever. So I remember he was like, let's go see Cabin in the Woods. And I feel like at this point I was, like, not into them, but, like, I had watched horrors and wasn't, like, against them anymore. And I was like, yeah, let's go. And it was actually for my birthday, and I was like, yeah, let's go. And I remember we were like, what a pile of shite, because I feel like at that time I was just like, a horror, it's not a horror if there's no ghosts, you know. And I was like, I think we hadn't watched any trailers, so I think in my head I was like, Cabin in the Woods, oh, it must be about people who go stay in a cabin in the woods and it's haunted. But if you've seen Cabin in the Woods, you know
it's not
the case.
I'm really glad I put off watching that film until I'd seen, like,
I was literally like, what, this is literally the worst thing I've ever watched. And to this day Queeve still rates it the worst film he's ever seen in his life, whereas I'm actually kind of
so
interested
good.
To go back and watch
it.
Have you not heard very good things about it?
Only since the cinema. But like, I don't remember. I really don't remember.
I like Joss Whedon though, so that
Did he make
the stoner guy?
Yeah.
The only guy I remember was the stoner guy, because he lasted till the end.
Joss Whedon directed the Avengers.
Yeah.
And he made Buffy, that's why.
Oh, okay.
It's the kind of thing, once you've seen, like, some of the classic horror movies and it's so on the nose with its references.
Yeah.
Like, the entire setting is just ripped straight out of Evil Dead.
Okay.
Like the original, you know, the Sam Raimi one. It's such a good film.
Yeah, I feel like I could go back and enjoy that now, whereas back then we were like, what is this? Like, and we didn't even really like scary films, so we were like, this is stupid. And
you were the people you hate now.
But it made for a really memorable date, because he was like, shit, I kind of ruined your birthday, that was awful. So I'm like, oh, it's fine. And now to this day, like, we'll never forget if somebody says, like, what's the first thing you ever saw in the cinema together? It's Cabin in the Woods.
Can't forget it.
Whereas, yeah, I actually really, maybe I'll report back when I watch it again.
What were we talking about before that?
We were going to move
biggest
on.
Jump scare.
Yeah, you didn't go.
Oh. Was he the car one in the Hill House?
I feel like if you didn't jump from that, you're made of stone.
Yeah.
That's literally.
Or dead.
Yeah,
to be honest. Ironically.
I think Okay, I feel like if I give my answer, I'm kind of ruining my own.
Okay, right, go with your story and answer it in your story.
Because I feel like it's too interconnected.
Okay, go with your...
Why are you here?
So, I'm a self-diagnosed chicken shit. Yeah. That's who I am as a person, and I always have been. I have an overactive imagination, and for that reason, I kind of lived my life trying to avoid horrors. But it became an issue when you mix in the fact that I really like spooky things.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've always liked spooky things, and I like to watch Scooby-Doo, but I'd have to force a friend to watch it with me in the daytime when it was bright out. So I could watch it and then be like, okay, you can leave now.
Yeah.
I've watched what I need to watch, and I'm fine now. So because of that, like, obviously people would, it was, for some reason, it was a big thing when we were kids that people would invite you to their house and then try to force you to watch awful films.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And absolutely. Like, between House of Wax, like, I can name the exact films people tried to get me to: House of Wax, Jeepers Creepers, Halloween. I realised recently after watching Halloween that I had been really freaked out by the pumpkins at the beginning, so much so that when I saw them, I was like, oh my god, no, I can't watch it, I'm turning it off. So
it's just a pumpkin.
It was a pumpkin. I was like, oh, I've seen this before, because I'd forgotten. Someone had tried to get me to watch it before. But yeah, they had. So yeah, it was like this weird game they used to play where they tried to get me to watch these things, and I'd just sit with a cushion in front of my face, and then I'd call home like, ma'am, I need to come home, I can't stay here.
Yeah,
they're weirdos, I can't do this. So this continued on, and yeah, like, the smallest things would terrify me. So Scooby-Doo was a big issue, even though I loved it. Like,
yeah, they were scary, all of them, to be fair.
Can we do a shout out to the Recess Halloween episodes, because they were amazing.
And the Simpsons ones.
And the Simpsons.
Some of them are...
Mostly the Treehouse of Terror.
Horror. Oh, horror, yeah. Like, they were really, yeah. Even away from horror films, I used to, in my aunt's house during the day, I'm an only child, so I used to be on my own quite a lot, so I used to watch a lot of TV. And at one point I'd finished watching everything on Disney Channel, so I moved on to CBBC, and they had a show which was like these ghost hunting kids, and it was like legit stories where they would go ghost hunting, and I was petrified. And I would watch it, and then have to watch Dora to calm myself down.
Dora.
Just to kind of bring myself back to a level where I wasn't afraid to open the door, because I'd watch it with the sitting door closed. So I was like, if my aunt finds out I'm watching it, she's gonna go mad, because she's like, she knows I'm a chicken shit.
Yeah.
So I'd try and hide the fact that I was watching this, and then we'd get really scared and couldn't go to the bathroom.
But the curiosity was there.
Well, the curiosity was there. Yeah. So like, it was anything. Jurassic Park, petrified.
Oh, that Jaws, was really scary. So afraid. So scared. They are technically, I would class them in the horror genre.
Very scary. The first Harry Potter, Voldemort.
Oh my god. So scary.
And so I would keep watching them. I know I was afraid, but I keep watching them. But eventually then I got to that point where if I knew it was anything more than like childish horror, I couldn't, like, I just couldn't watch it. The big thing, like, I think that kind of moved me on a little bit was probably Silence of the Lambs. My mom, for some reason, despite knowing how much of a chicken shit I am, decided to show me Silence of the Lambs. But I think it was from the perspective of, she knew I really liked like crime stuff.
Yeah.
So like,
yeah,
CSI and all those. So I think she was looking at it from the idea of like, it's a thriller.
Yeah, I suppose it's quite prison and stuff. Like,
yeah, yeah, exactly. So
a charming man.
Yeah.
Which was, but probably, I suppose, a really bad idea.
The Silence of the Lambs, the first one, I suppose you're safe because he's not actually doing anything.
No.
He's kind of behind bars, but it's still... Yeah. I can see her point of view.
Yeah, and like, to be fair, it was a really bad idea because I have a really strange obsession with Hannibal Lecter ever since.
So, I can see why. He's very intriguing.
Absolutely love him. He's my favourite character ever of anything. So, you know, fair play, ma'am. Well done on that one.
Yeah.
But I do remember distinctly being made to watch a horror film... or slash thriller, I guess, called What Lies Beneath by a certain person.
I feel like I've never seen it.
I feel like because I was forced to watch horrors, that then I turned into the forcer.
But the worst thing was, I was told and assured many times, it's not even that scary. We'll watch it during the day. You won't even
be. Did I say this?
Yes. Oh. And she brought it to my house and we watched it, and I haven't been able to take a bath since. Showers only.
And this is really funny because I didn't know this until you tweeted a while ago saying, oh yeah, I just really want to have a bath, to which Patty replied to her being like, so why don't you? And she wrote back, you know why. And then I was like, what is this about? Like, I was like, why don't you just have a freaking bath? And then you were like,
I can't.
You still can't. And I was like, oh my god, that was years ago.
It just freaks me out. I'm just like, no, it's just a really bad idea because someone's obviously going to try and murder you if you're in a bath, or there'll be a ghost lady.
I keep trying to pull the line of, well, if someone's going to kill you in a bath, it's going to be Harrison Ford.
I know, but...
And like, we all...
But you pictured him piercing green eyes, don't you? In the
water.
I just
don't. Yeah, I just
know. I feel like we need to, for part of this project, for the podcast as well, as we're going to force Paddy to watch that, because it's probably the only film that he hasn't seen.
I haven't. I genuinely haven't seen it.
I don't remember.
I have it on DVD, so that's going to be
one frame video.
You do have it on DVD.
That's going
to be... But like, I'm not being funny. You think Han Solo wanted to come into the bath with you would be like...
I love Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
And like every other film, I absolutely adore
him. That film is not Harrison Ford. No, it's not Harrison Ford. He is like sinister.
We were saying last night, we were watching this film, Hollywood Homicide, that he's in, and we were just saying, saying, like, it's never Harrison Ford playing a character. It's just a character.
Yeah.
It's not the part, like, it's not Harrison Ford. It's just whoever he's playing.
Yeah, he's
like,
so...
Indiana Jones and Han Solo are the same character.
But totally different.
Oh, completely
But they're
different.
Not the same no. in the no, slightest.
And it's like, I wouldn't even, like, almost relate his character and what lies beneath as Harrison Ford because
no.
I feel like you just completely detach that person from this character.
I think I, yeah. like, suppressed it for years that it was
I feel like
Harrison
I didn't
Ford.
Even realize till years later that I was like... Because I feel like the reason Mam was watching it in the first place was because
it's Harrison
Ford. Because she's a massive Harrison Ford fan. And she's actually secretly like scary films as well, so
yeah.
I feel like that was always secretly there.
Is it a secret at this point?
Not
no.
What?
Not your mom likes scary films.
No, but I feel like to me it was, because I remember
yeah.
being like,
well, parents were always like, you can't watch it.
I suppose it never
yeah.
clicked with me for years, being like, why did she read the Amityville book? And then it was only like when I started getting into that, when I think she never wanted to watch the stuff I was watching because she was afraid it was gore. And then I was like, no, it's just ghost stories. She was like, can I watch them? And I was like, what? Why? He's like, I love them. I was like, oh, since when?
It's like, who are you? Have
yeah.
I lived with you this whole time?
What's going on?
So What Lies Beneath had an impact.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so I just went on kind of trying to avoid them. Silence of the Lambs was great in that it got me into that kind of area of things, but I still was very like PG in my creepiness. Like it was
yeah.
Adam's Family and
yeah, yeah.
those kind of like things more so than
it gave
actual,
you enough of a
scary.
Taste.
Yeah, exactly.
It was all kind of spoopy.
It
yeah.
was spoopy.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. And that was very much me. And even like the music I listened to kind of lends itself to that. So that was great for me and I really enjoyed that. But then... I suppose the Hannibal series pushed me way
yeah,
out.
Yeah, that's a bit more.
Yeah.
Because that shit's dark.
Yeah.
And it's great, and it's excellent, but it is scary.
Yeah.
Like, I would watch it at home during the daytime, and I'd have to, like, watch a bit,
mm-hmm.
take a break,
mm-hmm.
you know, have like, something to eat, go back and watch another bit. It took me forever to get through the series.
Yeah.
But it's excellent, and it's really, really good, and it made me appreciate it from, like, a more, like, oh, this is really cool and really well done.
Yeah, yeah.
And then like, I went to college.
It's just on the Hannibal thing, it's really strange to be watching someone get cut up, chopped to pieces, and appreciate Hannibal's form and technique.
But he's like, he's a really talented cook.
He's like, but even like, you know, when he kills someone and he displays them, and you're
yeah.
like, oh, that's so, I
so
never
creative.
Would have thought to do that.
It's the way he even knows to like dress a dinner plate. Like,
honestly, like, you find yourself,
voila.
You find yourself thinking like a serial killer, and it's just such a strange.
But
mindset.
I just love the Hannibal series. I don't know if you've watched
no,
it.
No,
it's
need
literally
to watch
the whole
it.
Time of him going along doing this really bad shit. And then he's like, oh, Will, what has happened? Oh, how awful.
Yeah.
And it's just so funny because you know it's him from episode one, and he's like, oh no, a murder. How awful. Would you like some pork?
Would you like some long pig?
It's just twisted. It's so twisted, but I love it. But then, yeah, I went to college and did like a film elective. And as part of that, I was kind of like, signed up for it when I realised Psycho was one of the films we had to watch.
Mm.
But I went in with the benefit of never having seen Psycho. So, for obviously anyone that hasn't seen it, maybe just don't listen. Cause
I feel like you can spoil it, because that's such
that.
An old film.
You think that, but I didn't know. I knew had
that's
no
true.
Idea what the big plot twist
that's
that
true.
Norma does not exist anymore,
yeah.
and that is in fact Norman in a skirt. I did not know this. So, like, I watched this film, and I was quite, like, I didn't want to go watch it. I remember you came in to see it with me, and I didn't want to watch it. I was going, I don't really like horror, I don't really want to watch this, but I have to, because I have to talk about it tomorrow in class. So I went in and watched it, and absolutely loved it. Like,
yeah.
I thought I'd never get home to watch it again. I thought
yeah.
it was unbelievable, and the plot twist floored me. Like, people were getting up to leave the lecture hall, and I was still there going, it was him? Are
yeah.
you sure?
Yeah, but it's so funny when you say that, because I studied Psycho in college as well. I was almost going to say Bates Motel, sorry, but no. Also go watch Bates Motel.
Excellent.
But I knew the twist, which is a completely different
mm.
perspective to you, but
yeah.
what blew my mind in the film thing is when I found out, when our lecturer told us that that was the first ever film ever in history to kill off the main person in the first 15
yeah.
minutes
yeah.
that had never done that. Apparently, like, the people in the cinema were like, what? Because
no, what's
just,
it about?
It was
this
just
isn't helpful,
yeah, it was just natural that the person you open with is the person you close with, so for them not to do that, and that brought my interest
mm.
to Psycho, which is kind of cool. I feel like that is just like a very iconic film
yeah.
and I just liked it from the point of view, like, that to me it was like it
such
showed that
twist.
Horror, while people maybe didn't saw it as more lowbrow and all this kind of nonsense, it was always the one pushing the boundaries of film. Like,
yeah,
so even
yeah.
the fact they showed a flushing toilet and everyone was like, shock, gasp, a toilet flushing.
Yeah.
Even everyone knew toilets did
yeah.
that. It was like little things that horror was able to get away with
yeah.
that nobody
yeah,
else
yeah.
can get away with.
Hitchcock was kind of ahead of his time.
Yeah, and it's cool that way. And that made me appreciate it, because then
yeah.
now when I watch films, I see so many directors thrown back to Hitchcock and what he would do, and I think that is so cool.
Yeah, he started.
What
like,
an influence that has.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see that in any other kind of filmmaking in the same extreme.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that kind of helped, and I kind of started looking at them from an idea of like, oh, these are artistic and they're doing cool things and they're not just a good story, they can have more to them. And yeah, I guess then I just kind of started to be a bit more open-minded, I suppose, is the way you best describe it.
I feel like she's still a bit apprehensive about certain things.
Zombies. I don't like zombies. Putting it out there, will
I feel like we
them.
Need to make her watch Shaun of the Dead, though.
100%.
I'm just
think
one.
It's hilarious. Shaun of the Dead is great in that it does the same thing you love about Hitchcock and directors and stuff, in that Edgar Wright's films are always like insanely detailed, and when you watch it the second time, you're like, how did I not see that?
God. But also, I feel like you'd like it because the zombies in it aren't scary. Like,
no.
The film isn't about the zombies.
It's a rom-com.
It's not.
It is a rom-com.
The parts where they're encountering the zombies is still tense and serious, but it's done like, isn't there, what's the song that's playing over the massive like fighting sequence in the pub?
Oh, Don't Stop Me Now.
Yeah, like that's literally
there's a synchronized like pool cue fight.
So like it's like, okay, everything that's tense, there's something in it that just takes away from it a little bit. I feel like it would ease you into
like,
it. And the zombies are funny.
I don't
they're
like
not,
zombies.
They don't look like the typical grey, like with their arms out like woo. They look like people that are just like decrepit, like mouldy people.
But like again, it comes back, Scooby-Doo Zombie Island, petrifying movie, and I overwatched it. I used to watch it religiously as a kid, and that was a really bad
idea.
But
you know who's actually the scared person who scared me the most in Zombie Island?
That ghost.
It wasn't even the ghost. It was the guy that was at the boat dock. I was like, oh no, he's the good guy, quick go with him. And then the full moon comes out and he's a fucking werewolf.
Pretty intense. Yeah, fair. But yeah, so like I just guess then it kind of made me just kind of be like, okay, these are not so bad, I'll give them a go. But it still took me a while to get into it. I still was a bit like, I don't know, I'm a bit apprehensive. I played Uncharted and that had zombies in it, and that freaked me out.
Well, I feel like what was good was when you like said to us first that you had never watched the Conjuring series, you watched them and you actually like enjoyed them. And like, I suppose from somebody who would be very scared of paranormal jumpy stuff, like you took it pretty well.
Well, I think what happened was that as a kid growing up, as What Lies Beneath showed, that usually when things scared me, I took it with me everywhere.
Yeah.
So I couldn't get away from it. I would think about it constantly. I would see shadows and I would think it's this scary thing I've seen in an ad. Like, I couldn't watch trailers for horror films.
Oh yeah, I used
at
to
all.
Like that.
Had to switch channel, skip, like turn off the YouTube page for a few minutes, wait till it's gone, and then move it on and just get into it. But then that was fine. But a big thing, I think a big turning point for me was when a band I really like, Iceland Kills, released an album of horror-inspired songs. And I really liked their music, and I saw a few of their videos. We went to see another band, Motions Might, and Iceland Kids were supporting them, so we were like, hey, what are these guys about? We'll look them up on YouTube, and realised they had really cool videos, and like they had like a Carrie inspired one, and even though I hadn't seen horror, they were iconic enough that I was like, oh, that's an Exorcist inspired song. And I could point it all out, and I was like, okay, even though I don't get horror, I don't enjoy it, I can get what they're doing, and this is so clever, and the songs were so good, and the video's so creative. So I was like, hey, this ain't so bad. So when they released a whole album then after that, I was like, okay, but I like this, but I need to know what these are about. I can't appreciate these songs till I know what the movies are now.
I think the big one that got you for that was when we saw them, they just released one based on The Shining. So straight away you were like, I need to go watch The Shining. I need to see this.
So you could understand what they were doing.
100%.
That makes sense.
But after seeing it, you're like, oh, Stephen King isn't so scary.
But I do think with horror, it's all about trying to relate it to something that is not that it's not scary, but it's relating to something that is more understandable or manageable. I think that's what Iceland Kills did for me. They allowed me to watch Halloween and I actually enjoy it. And like really enjoyed it. Like I loved it so much. When I watched it, I was like, why have I not done this before? I love this guy. And I quickly realised I really like slashers, and now Scream is my favourite film. Ever.
That's
like,
so funny that it just changes.
Oh, completely. And I feel like within a year I went from being like, oh my god, don't show me a horror trailer, to can we go see the new Halloween in the cinema.
But I feel like this gave a good perspective on our on our interests in horrors. I suppose you'll get to know our personality more as it goes on.
Were we planning on talking about The Invisible Man?
I think we should leave it till the next episode, because there is another film that's coming out very soon that we want to go see. So maybe we should do a little
talk about like a couple of movies in one episode.
A Quiet Place.
Spoilers!
I'm glad you said that, because I actually forgot.
I feel like that's a good place to start, is that we're also showing that we do keep up with horrors quite often, because we all do now enjoy going to the cinema, and we quite often go together, all of us, because it's not very often you can find a group of people who want to go see horrors.
Truth.
So we've got our group now and we go. So yeah, we've all seen The Invisible Man, so we're ready to talk about that.
That'll be the next discussion point.
Yeah, I feel like
that should be out in 2 weeks time from when they're listening to this. As in, like, from when they're listening to this, the next episode when we'll talk about that will be in 2 weeks.
Yeah. So A Quiet Place should be out by then. So I feel like that'll give us plenty of topic. And I feel like also as well, if you yourself are into horror, which obviously we would hope that you are, we'll like give you a perspective of what you think on our opinions and what we thought of it, because that's always interesting to hear.
And send in your recommendations of films.
Yeah. And I feel like it's also like interesting to add that, like, just because we're all big into horror doesn't mean we always have like agreement on different things in films. Like, there's some films that we like and don't like against each other, and I feel like that makes for
that happens
quite a lot, so I feel like that makes for good debate, and I feel like we'd always be interested in hearing other people's likes and dislikes on specific films.
We have hard skins, you can tell us we're idiots, it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine, we won't take offense. I'll still watch whatever.
Important
it is
to note that if you want to contact us on Twitter, our Twitter handle is @bringdemonspod.
Yes, because the other full length of the podcast name is too long, so
we went with that. But don't bring us demons.
No demons,
please. Do not curse our
land. Do not summon the demons. We're not into that.
I mean, I'll take a few.
We're nice people.
Send them to Paddy.
If they're going spare, I mean, you know, the dog is lonely sometimes. So.
Don't let them hurt the dog.
Oh, no, he'll just licked up to death. It's fine.
That's fine.
It's fine.
But yeah, I feel like that's kind of it.
Cool.
Right. Bye.
See you soon.